In 2005, the Pew Global Attitudes probe found new dimensions of dissatisfaction. Startling majorities said their views of the United States had become less favorable because of the re-election of George W. Bush. 77% in Germany, 75% in Canada, 74% in France, 62% in Britain. In France, the Netherlands, Britain, and Germany, majorities or pluralities said the United States was too religious, and most participants favored the emergence of some nation or multinational union as a military counter to the United States. When respondents were asked to indicate favorable or unfavorable attitudes toward five specific nations, the U.S., Germany, France, Japan, and China, the British, French, Germans, Spanish, Dutch, and Russians gave their lowest marks to the United States. Only Canadians did not, but their criticism flared up in other ways, because Canadians gave Americans the highest negatives for being violent and greedy. Not only have the last several years witnessed the most global defeat for the U.S. public diplomacy and the nation's reputation since the interplay of defeat in Vietnam and the Watergate scandal in the 1970s, but the direct tie to the Bush administration is unmistakable. Indeed, the divisions within the U.S. electorate make it difficult to suggest that Bush is unique. Whereas Americans who declined to vote for Bush generally agreed that U.S. policy has made enemies and disaffected much of the world, the bulk of Bush's huge evangelical, fundamentalist, and Pentecostal constituency did not think so. Its members believe that the United States remains both strong and respected. The problem, to an extent, is that within the United States they have their own communication system and culture built around belief, both religious and scriptural. Many of the evangelical, fundamentalist, and Pentecostal churches, especially the megachurches, become the principal source of both belief and information in their congregations' lives. Broadcast, publishing, and direct mail empires have grown up around these fellowships and communities, creating umbrellas against the effects of secular communications. The viewpoints of so-called sophisticates have little access to the minds of the faithful. Thus, for example, majorities of Americans continue to believe in Noah's Ark and the Book of Genesis version of creation, even though a recent report by genome researchers found that chimpanzees and humans share a very similar genetic blueprint, a 96% overlap, which scientists call overwhelming evidence of Darwin's theory of evolution. Similarly, even though the major oil companies have started to concede that a peak of world oil production may be close, true believers continue to believe that God will provide. If holders of these religious views were not a very large, albeit minority, block of the population, George W. Bush would not have been reelected. Their ranks may be close to their peak, but that prediction cannot be offered as fact. Difficult politics thus lies ahead. Unfortunately, the history of past leading world economic powers is that they have not been able to throw up the sort of leadership needed to reverse the tides involved. In consequence, the nations in the process of being dethroned as the world's economic leader have faced a difficult period of 20 to 40 years, at very least, in making the transition from yesterday's hegemony to a lesser but eventually comfortable role in a differently shaped world. In the United States, elements of economic sclerosis seem to go hand in hand with the political variety. In mid-2005, for the first time since measurement began, household incomes failed to increase for 5 straight years. Median pre-tax income, said the Census Bureau, was at its lowest point, adjusted to inflation, since 1997. Meanwhile, buoyed by federal policy, those enjoying the top 1% of U.S. incomes continued to increase their share of the national pie. When Federal Reserve Chairman Greenspan acknowledged that 7% of personal disposable income in 2004 had come from households borrowing against home values, up from 3% in 2000 and 1% in 1994, he followed an earlier and equally telling admission, that asset values had become a prime focus of Washington decision-making. Our forecasts, said Greenspan, are becoming increasingly driven by asset price changes. Edwardian England and mid-18th century Holland shared some of those preoccupations. American energy policy had its own ennui and interest group commitments. Ineptitude in Iraq worsened matters, but the government took no serious measures to curb public fuel consumption, or for that matter, to curb attitudes that offended oil and gas supplying nations, from Canada and Venezuela to the Muslim Middle East. In 2004, the New York Times pointed out, the U.S. Energy Information Administration issued forecasts that by 2020, Saudi Arabia would produce 18.2 million barrels of oil a day. No reliable information was involved. The agency simply assumed that Saudi Arabia would be able to produce whatever the United States needed it to produce.